Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Podcast. Thanks very much for downloading us wherever you download us from, whether it was Radio MD or iHeart or wherever. Thanks again. 50,000 of you a week can't all be wrong. I hope not anyway. We have a great guest for you today. Dr. Yelena Pavlovich is a specialist in managing migraine from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. We'll tell you a little more about her background in a second, but I'm supposed to remind you always at the start of the show that we're brought to you by Persona Nutrition. I use Persona for my personalized supplements as well, and you can too. If you want to have some fun, you can take the free online assessment to get supplements personalized just for you. Go to mypersona.com. And if you go to mypersona.com, not only can you take that assessment, but if you / Roizen, that's me, Dr. Roizen, R-O-I-Z-E-N, I understand they give you 50% off on your first order. Today's guest is something, and I love this because we're going away from coronavirus for a change and talking about migraine, which I think has nothing to do with the coronavirus, and I hope it doesn't. Dr. Pavlovich is an assistant professor of neurology at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York. She earned her BS from Ramup College of New Jersey, and I'm mispronouncing that, where she double majored in biology and chemistry on a full academic scholarship. So obviously they thought a lot of her. Then she went to Penn State University and not only got an MD, but also a PhD in molecular medicine. So we will obviously be talking to someone who knows quite a bit. She completed a residency in neurology at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, Montefiore Medical Center, where she was also chief resident. She now specializes in headache medicine and facial pain at, I understand, the Montefiore Headache Center. Dr. Pavlovich has a website at, and it's not her website, she wants to educate us all on migraines. It's the American Migraine Foundation.org. So, Dr. Pavlovich, thanks very much for coming on. And I'm going to start right away with, what's the difference between a migraine headache and any other headache?
So, first of all, thank you, Dr. Roizen, very much for having me on for that great introduction. And I have to give a shout out to Ramapo College of New Jersey, which actually gave me a chance to be here by awarding that full scholarship to a foreign student at a time. But getting back to migraine is not just a headache. Migraine is very much, and you hit the nail on the head with asking how is migraine different from just other headache, because migraine suffers from tremendous stigma of being, quote unquote, just another headache. And as majority of population has experienced headaches in their lives, it is often hard for those who have migraine to communicate to their loved ones, to their friends, to their employers, to people around them, how much different having migraine is than just occasionally experiencing a headache. Migraine specifically is a chronic neurologic disorder, and its primary manifestation that we are aware of is an episodic attacks of head pain, which we call headache. But migraine is much more of that, because these, not only are these headaches different than the typical tension headaches that occur in people in population, these are accompanied by a slew of neurological symptoms that can be very broad or very specific. And also, being a chronic disorder, this means that these attacks come back and come back and come back. And while in those who are lucky who have migraine, they occur only about on average 1 to 2 times a month, there's a great percent of people, about 1 to 3% of population, have nearly daily headache. Certainly among my patients, that is very common. And it's very common for people to have chronic migraine, which is more than 15 headaches a month. So all that to say that the burden of migraine is significant, and it is by no means just a headache.
And when you say the burden, that's both on the individual. Is there a societal burden from it as well?
Correct. There's a significant societal burden and significant cost of migraine. So currently, migraine is considered by the WHO, which sadly has been in the news for the COVID-19 news that we live in this new world order as of this week, at least in our world. But WHO deals with other conditions as well. And migraine is considered the fourth most burdensome condition in the world. And that is not just by kind of pain and what kind of burden it causes to individual, what you've just mentioned, but also what it causes to society, right? Absence from work or what we called presentism, meaning people going to work but not being able to perform at their most optimal state, people struggling through their social and family responsibilities, and just not being able to live life most optimally.
And is migraine more common in women or men, or is it equal? And is there an age difference?
Yes. So women are more affected by migraines. Specifically, in terms of large population studies, they're about 3 times more likely to have migraine than men. In clinical practice, that varies somewhat because most of my clinical practice and my colleagues' clinical practices, which are, and our practices are, we are neurologists who then additionally subspecialize in migraines. So our practices are very focused on headache and migraine in particular being the primary type of headache that we see. Majority of our patients, I would say 80 to 90% of our practices are women with migraine. And that is well known from population studies. Migraine is a disorder of women of reproductive age, and these are predominantly younger women.
Does that mean it's related to, or the cause of it may be something related to hormone fluctuations, or is that just a kind of a red herring that goes along with it?
That's a great question. Hormonal fluctuations and hormonal changes in migraine have been noticed since the ancient times. And this association with women presenting, young women presenting around the time of the first period with migraine, and then migraine amplifying during the 20s and peaking in late 30s to early 40s, and then later quieting down later in life postmenopausally. We do not believe that hormonal fluctuations are a cause of migraine. However, they're certainly an exacerbating factor that certainly seems to significantly contribute to migraine. And specifically in terms of hormonal fluctuations affecting migraine, you know, they affect women on 2 time courses. One is the lifespan, as I just mentioned, across from teenagehood to postmenopausally, also during pregnancy and lactation. And then the other one is on the order of a menstrual cycle. So there is an entity called menstrually related migraine, when women with migraine experience worsening generally of their headache around their period, generally starting about 2 to 3 days prior to the onset of bleeding and the first few days of bleeding. And that is called menstrually related migraine. And that, among this burden that I have already been talking about, those attacks that happen at that time seem to be the most burdensome, the most difficult to treat, the associated with most symptoms, refractory to treatment, not responding well to treatment. So that seems to be a particularly challenging time for women with migraine.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
You're listening to Dr. Yelena Pavlovich of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, a specialist in headache and a super specialist in migraines. Dr. Pavlovich, have you had migraines? What motivated you to get into this field?
Well, thank you for that phrase, super specialist. This is the first time anyone has referred to me that way. I wasn't a super specialist when I was 12 years old, but that's when I personally developed migraine. I was, I would say, somewhat fortunate by the fact that I had tremendous family history of migraine. So the first few attacks weren't as scary as they probably would be for such a young person, because I have seen my family members experience them. And though it was, I still remember the aura, I still remember the pain, I still remember vomiting, but it wasn't as scary given that I knew what it was. That experience has likely contributed to my, it was kind of it wasn't an obvious conscious choice of thinking, oh, I have migraine and I want to become a physician, I want to become a neurologist, I want to become a headache specialist. In fact, when I started medical school, I did not know that such a subspecialty as headache subspecialty existed and that one could be a specialist in this field. But it must have influenced, had a significant decision subconsciously in my decision making somewhere along the way. It is a benefit in what I do in the sense that not only do I know how my, from learning, as all physicians learn about all diseases we do that we treat, we do not have to experience them to know how to approach them and treat them, thankfully. But it is a helpful benefit to be able to relate to my patients personally.
And I'm sure that's absolutely true, because experiencing something gives you real both empathy as well as more knowledge of it. What does cause migraine? Is there a major cause? In other words, I've heard that it can be treated with, for example, some people treat it with Botox. Is that just muscle tightness as a, if you will, concomitant, or is it a cause, or do we know what causes it in general?
The simple answer is we don't. We don't have a single answer to that question. It is not a one for one. But the true answer is much broader to that, and that as everything is multifaceted, so is migraine. So migraine is likely a polygenetic disorder, meaning that many genetic aspects contribute to a person having migraine. And this is why we see not everyone in a family. We see that family travels in families, but not everyone in a family has migraine. And we know that there are certain mechanisms that play a large role in migraine. For many decades, we believed that migraine was primarily a disorder of vasodilation, and that meaning that it was the blood vessels that vasodilated and vasoconstricted, and the pain occurred because of that. In the meantime, in the last 10 to 20 years, that has evolved, knowing that there are many neuropeptides and neurotransmitters that play a role in migraine, such as serotonin, transport, and so on. But the primary mechanism, the primary neuroinflammatory peptide that plays a role in migraine seems to be CGRP, which is short for, wait for it, the long term, is calcitonin gene-related peptide. And this peptide was found over about 30 years ago, and it was found in the pain fibers that innervate structures in and around the brain that are pain sensitive. And in about the last decade, we have actually realized that it just doesn't have to do so much with vasodilation. This has to do with the fact that this peptide transmits pain signals along the trigeminal nerve, which is the primary nerve involved in migraine formation, which is the nerve when you touch above your eyebrows in the spot, it's sometimes tender, probably in majority of people, that those are the peripheral branches of the trigeminal nerve. And that this is the way how pain signals are transported from the periphery into brainstem and higher brain structures. And it's believed that this is what the disinflammatory peptide is really important in both generating and then maintaining a migraine attack. And so why this is so interesting is that once this was identified, this served as a potential target for treatment, targeting this particular migraine formation neuropeptide.
So let's go there exactly. So is the treatment doing something with this, with the CGRP or with the trigeminal nerve?
Correct. So we have in the last few years had very welcome and much needed revolution in migraine treatment. So migraine treatment is, just to kind of offer a framework for this, is structured as preventive treatment, meaning we try to prevent attacks from coming, and then acute treatment of a specific migraine attack. And even people who are on preventive treatments and who have been on them for a long time will still experience acute attacks. There is no such thing as 100% preventive treatment, or not in majority of people these days. So the first, in terms of revolution of the migraine treatments in the CGRP space, about 2 years ago at this time, the first biologic drugs came to the market, and these are monoclonal antibodies that are injectables that are generally given, a patient self-administers about every 4 weeks. And these are antibodies that attack either the CGRP molecule or the receptor to the molecule, and in that way help prevent migraine from occurring.
And how effective are they?
In terms of trials, they are effective on, many of them are quite effective and on par with some other preventives that we have had in the past. However, they appear to be with minimal side effects. They are very easy to, which is not the case with many prior preventives. The once monthly injection allows flexibility and ease of treatment in a, you know, busy, we spoke earlier how this occurs in women of reproductive age. These are busy people who, you know, have three kids and two jobs, so avoiding the need for daily pill is very helpful. And oftentimes, particularly in people who have failed multiple treatments, they provide a significant improvement on their prior treatment. And you mentioned Botox previously. We certainly use Botox quite extensively, particularly in the headache type of practice that I practice at. However, Botox is only available and indicated for chronic migraines. So those people I was mentioning that experience migraine on 15 or more days a month for 3 or more months, that is in whom we can use Botox. The monoclonal antibodies to CGRP are indicated also for episodic migraines. So those patients who have 8 to 10 headache days a month, who are very affected but do not fulfill the criteria for Botox, they can still receive these preventives.
Now, there's a new treatment called Neurotech ODT. What is that, and how does it work?
Correct. So I was mentioning the migraine revolution in terms of targeting migraine-specific pathway. So preventive treatments have been developed and used for about almost 2 years at this time. There are currently new acute treatments being developed, and Neurotech ODT is one of them. And it is a Neurotech ODT specifically targets the calcitonin gene-related peptide by being a receptor antagonist. It is a small molecule that works on this same mechanism that I was talking about, but it is used for acute attacks. And Nortec-ODT, because it's an ODT formulation, it's an orally disintegrating tablet, is the first one that works that way, that is provides a rapid release and rapid pain relief for that reason. And in clinical trials, it allows for return to normal function in 1 hour. And what is even better in for me in terms of what I frequently see my patients needing and what other many other treatments are not sufficiently meeting for them is that it seems to have a sustained effect for 48 hours. And this is very significant, that patients can not only treat effectively quickly, but that they can have a sustained effect and not be worried about another attack coming shortly, later in the day or the next day, as is commonly the case.
We've run out of time, Dr. Pavlovich. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry to the audience, because this has been a amazing and wonderful description and explanation of migraine, understanding it and understanding the new treatments and the progress that's been made. Dr. Yelena Pavlovich is at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, where she obviously is a super specialist in migraine. And the great news for those of you suffering and want consultation is that she's probably very empathetic. It sounds like she is, because she's had it herself. The Owner's Manual, you, the Owner's Manual radio podcast, as I said, this is 985B. The B's are always guests of the week. The A, the latest news of the week and what it means to you, how you can live at the top of your curve for the longest time. As usual, we've been brought to you by Persona Nutrition. Persona is, in fact, a way you can find at mypersona.com or personanutrition.com, but I like mypersona.com because you can take a free online assessment talking about your food, your medications. They have a great way of looking at interactions and finding out and discovering which vitamins and supplements are personalized to your need. It's a free online assessment at mypersona.com. And if you go to mypersona.com/Roizen, my last name, R-O-I-Z-E-N, you get a 50% discount off of your first order. It's mypersona.com. We should thank especially our producer, Donna Gould, and engineer Luis for superb engineering today. Thank you for downloading us. We'll be back next week with both a new A segment, the latest news of the week and what it means to you, and a B segment with Dr. and this time, obviously, it's with Dr. Yelena Pavlovich. Not next time. We have another new guest. I don't even know who it is yet, but you will find out when you download us at 986B. Thanks again. We'll be back next week.